Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 18th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
stocks get a lift on news of planned talks between the U.S. and Russia.
Facebook drops out of the top 10 most valuable companies.
Jim Bullard says the Fed may need to raise rates above 2%.
And the White House warns it may be running out of money to fight COVID.
Former President Trump ordered to testify in the New York Attorney General's probe of his business practices. And former Governor Cuomo sued for alleged sex harassment. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another shootout at the Garden. This time the Rangers lost to Detroit. The Islanders beat the Bruins. The Nets lost to Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are higher to end the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 25 points. Dow futures up 148 and NASDAQ futures up 108. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury little changed as well. The yield is 1.95% and the yield on the 2-year 1.47%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 2% on $1.81 at $89.95 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.3% at $18.97 an ounce. The euro 1.1371 against the dollar. Nathan.
Well, Karen, futures are getting a lift after yesterday's sell-off. There is optimism this morning on word that the U.S. is extending a hand to Russia with a high-stakes meeting. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the latest.
So it looks as if there'll be a meeting late next week as the U.S. accepts the date as well. But the fact remains there are over 150,000 Russian troops at the border, and Blinken says the real issue...
The stakes go far beyond Ukraine. This is a moment of peril for the lives and safety of millions of people, as well as for the foundation of the United Nations Charter and the rules-based international order.
And President Biden says he will call transatlantic leaders later today. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. Geopolitical tensions helped fuel a sell-off on Wall Street yesterday. About 85% of companies in the S&P 500 fell, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ tumbled 3%. It's a difficult time for investors, according to Eaton Vance portfolio manager Yana Barton.
There are lots of questions with very few foolproof answers, a lot of uncertainty, which obviously investors don't like, but you name it, and the visibility is murky, whether it's policy, geopolitics, growth, inflation.
Lots to worry about, but Yana Barton at Eaton Vance says she still remains bullish on equities.
Well, Karen, perhaps one of the hardest hit equities over the past few months has been Meta Platforms. The parent of Facebook has now tumbled out of the world's 10 largest companies by market value, hammered by its worst monthly decline ever. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Once the world's sixth largest company with a valuation in excess of $1 trillion, the Facebook parent closed the last session with a value of $565 billion, placing it in 11th place behind Tencent Holdings, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Meta Platforms, which changed its name from Facebook last year, has seen more than $500 billion in market value destroyed from a September peak. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Let's get you up to date on some other stocks moving this morning on earnings. Shares of Roku down 24% in early trading. The streaming video platform reported revenue and a sales outlook that fell short of estimates. Redfin shares are down more than 24% as well. The real estate technology company forecast a first quarter loss that was worse than analysts were looking for. And shares of Shake Shack are down 11%. The hamburger chain's first quarter revenue missed forecasts.
So with all this market volatility, where's the best place to put your money? Some say overseas. Let's get the details live with Bloomberg's Max Ramsey in our London bureau. Good morning, Max.
Morning to you, Nathan and Karen. Yes, this positioning is really fascinating because it has been a very volatile month for European and global equities. We've had this hawkish pivot from the ECB, repricing in the bond markets, and of course, tensions over Ukraine. But strategists are holding the line on European stocks. Bloomberg polled 17 buy and sell side strategists in February. Only two lowered their year-end targets for the Stock 600. So right now we trade at 465 points this morning. The average target is 507. So around an 8% upside for the end of the year. Live in London, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Max, thank you. The prospect of higher interest rates has also been a major contributor to the recent market sell-off. And St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard says the Federal Reserve may need to raise rates above 2% to curb prices.
If you wanted to put downward pressure on inflation, you'd actually have to get to neutral and go beyond neutral. And I think that's a major concern of mine. We're not really in a position to do that right now, but we have to get in a position to do that at some point in case inflation doesn't moderate.
St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard made the comments in an event hosted by Columbia University and SGH Macro Advisors.
Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester also supports tighter policy at a faster pace to fight inflation, Karen. She supports a rate hike next month and expects inflation to remain above 2% both this year and next.
Coming up on the economic front, Nathan, we get data on the housing market today. Economists predict existing home sales probably dropped in January for the second month in a row. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
The prior report showed existing home sales dropped in December for the first time since August. The outlook could be described as tenuous. Inventories remain low and mortgage rates are creeping higher, back to pre-pandemic levels. Prices, very high prices, are also having an impact. And in January, the COVID-19 Omicron variant cast a pall on daily life. Vinny Dow, Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Vinny, thank you. Turning to the pandemic now, the White House is warning COVID cash is drying up. It's telling Congress the U.S. does not have enough money on hand to deal with future coronavirus variants and needs more to stockpile vaccines and develop new technologies. The Department of Health and Human Services is asking for $30 billion to prepare for the next waves of the virus.
Meantime, Nathan, the IRS is adding a second so-called surge team to expand its capacity to process U.S. tax returns. That comes after criticism from members of Congress who say taxpayers are waiting for months to get their refunds. The IRS will also outsource some functions to help finalize returns more quickly. Again, futures are on the rise this morning. Bitcoin also gaining at $40,800. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in John Tucker for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Former President Trump has been ordered to testify in the investigation being conducted by the New York Attorney General. The story this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Ballinger.
A New York judge rejected a request by Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and Ivanka Trump that he block Attorney General Letitia James' subpoenas for their depositions. He ordered the three to appear for depositions within 21 days. At a contentious hearing, lawyers for the Trumps accused James of improperly trying to gather criminal evidence under the guise of conducting a civil investigation that would typically culminate in a lawsuit rather than an indictment. But the judge said their argument completely misses the mark. Trump said in a statement, "I can't get a fair hearing in New York because of the hatred of me by judges and the judiciary." Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has been sued over alleged sexual harassment by a state trooper who was part of his protective detail. Cuomo was forced to resign last year after the state attorney general issued a lengthy report alleging several instances of harassment. New York Governor Kathy Hochul accepting the state Democratic Party's nomination as their candidate in the 2022 governor's race. The decision marks a rapid rise for the 63-year-old Buffalo native, who was a relative unknown when she took office in August following Cuomo's resignation over those sexual harassment allegations. A New York City firefighter has died from what's being described as a sudden medical episode at his firehouse a day after battling a house fire in Queens. Mayor Eric Adams.
The entire city mourns for the loss of this firefighter, a young man that dreamed to be a firefighter all his life.
33-year-old Jesse Gerhardt worked at Ladder Company 134 in Far Rockaway. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy has taken the unusual step of endorsing the primary opponent of incumbent Republican Representative Liz Cheney. It's an indication of the depth of the split in the party over former President Donald Trump. McCarthy joined Trump in backing attorney Harriet Hagman in Wyoming's August Republican primary against Cheney. Now, Cheney has criticized Trump over his role in stoking the mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol last year. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 5:09 on Wall Street, and it's time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, John Tucker. Another shootout at the Garden, like the one on Tuesday, not decided with the normal three rounds. Took nine rounds for the Rangers to beat Boston. The one with Detroit was decided in round number six.
Pino brings it up across the line on Greiss, moves in. He shoots, and a pad save by Thomas Greiss, and the Red Wings win this one in a shootout. Greiss with the big save on Hedo, and the final score tonight in New York, the Red Wings 3 and the New York Rangers 2.
Red Wings radio had the call. Rangers got calls from Keandre Miller, Mika Zibanejad. Zibanejad also scored in the shootout, but he's the only one who did. Islanders, three goals in the third period, and they end a three-game losing streak. They beat the Bruins 4-1. At Barclays, no fourth quarter heroics this time, like the Nets had Wednesday against the Knicks. Washington beat Brooklyn 117-103. The NBA now begins All-Star Weekend in Cleveland. The highlight figures to be the introduction Sunday night of the top 75 players in this, the NBA's 75th season. The Knicks represented by the likes of Patrick Ewing, Willis Reed, Walt Frazier, Earl Monroe, and the late Dave DeBuscher. College hoops, Wagner keeps winning now, 18-3 after a win over Sacred Heart. Rutgers has won four straight, all coming against top 25 teams, and they play fifth-ranked Purdue on Sunday, but may not have top scorer Ron Harper Jr., who's got a hand injury. Baseball was to start exhibition games next weekend. Obviously, that is not going to happen with the lockout. Now 78 days long, and MLB says they need a labor deal by the end of February if they're able to start the season on time. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks very much. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street this morning, futures indicate a higher open. We have Dow futures right now 116 points higher. The S&P E-mini futures up 20 points. And the Nasdaq futures, they're up 86 points. 10-year Treasury right now 1.96%. This is Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg weather from Rob Carolyn. Wind advisory, that's in effect through 10 o'clock this morning. Showers ending this morning, clearing this afternoon, and temperatures will fall through much of the day. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are rising as planned talks between Russia and the U.S. over Ukraine alleviate some investor gloom about geopolitical risks. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 22 points, Dow futures up 130, NASDAQ futures up 98. The DAX in Germany is down about a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.96%, the yield on the two-year 1.48%. NYMEX crude oil is falling, down 2.25%, down $2.08 at $89.68 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $7.90 at $18.94.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1366 against the dollar. British pound 1.3620. The yen's at 115.17. And Bitcoin this morning higher at $40,820. Today we are watching for reports on existing home sales out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time, along with the leading indicators. Deere & Company and DraftKings are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. President Biden warns the probability of an invasion of Ukraine still very high. Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov has agreed to meet with Secretary of State Antony Blinken for talks in Europe next week. A judge has ruled that former President Donald Trump must answer questions under oath in New York State's civil investigation into his business practices. And the House Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, took the unusual step of endorsing the primary opponent of incumbent Republican Representative Liz Cheney. Sports, the Rangers fall to the Red Wings in a shootout. The Islanders beat the Bruins. The Capitals top the Flyers. NBA, the Wizards, they beat the Nets. Global News, 24 hours a day on air in a Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. All week, it has been all about the standoff with Russia and concerns Moscow could invade Ukraine. The Kremlin denies any plans to do so. The latest development is a planned meeting between the U.S. and Russia next week in hopes of avoiding conflict. Let's get more on the situation now from the perspective of Ukraine. Oksana Markarova is Ukraine's ambassador to the United States. She sat down for an interview with Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern late yesterday. Let's listen into that conversation now.
President Zelensky has a lot of times really downplayed a large-scale invasion. So would you say that the Ukrainian government fully backs the U.S. intelligence reports?
I would say that my president didn't downgrade and didn't downplay it. You just have to understand that this is the situation in which Ukraine lives for the past 8 years. The risks and the information and everything we have from our intelligence and from our armed forces. And we, of course, compare the notes with all of our strategic friends and allies. And we see the risks. We know that the risk is there. We know that the intent to attack is there. We not only know it, we experience it for the past 8 years. Now, we cannot afford to panic. So while others can talk about aggression only, we also, and our president and our leaders, have to talk about how country, without panic, moves on and goes with ordinary life, but also get prepared. Panic is not something that we need to get prepared. Panic, that's what Putin wants us to the state to be in. We will not panic. We will quietly prepare and will resist.
But with the President of the United States saying an invasion is very high, is it time potentially to up the rhetoric in Ukraine to prepare your people if that were to happen?
We are, our armed forces, very motivated, very capable, are on high alert, and they, again, have been on high alert for quite some time. We are preparing not only in the east, but essentially right now there are trainings throughout the country, military exercises. President Zelensky visited Rivne, Donetsk Oblast. He is every day in two or three locations, essentially east, west, south, and north, visiting their armed forces and talking to our military and seeing the places. The territorial defense, the new law that we have adopted and it started working as early as 1st of January, we already see this very capable network of territorial defense units being created. And actually a number of Ukrainians, civilians, lots of friends of mine, financiers, are signing up to be part of this territorial defense. So no, if we are not panicking and we are not writing that we are panicking, it doesn't mean we are not preparing. Ukrainians are preparing. I use the phrase, you know, the grace under pressure, which I didn't invent, but I think that describes very well what Ukraine is doing right now.
President Zelensky had a speech the other day which panicked the financial markets when it was translated and posted in English. What he said in Ukrainian and his sentiment was quite tongue-in-cheek. This is how he communicates. But are you concerned, given we saw that impact in the financial markets globally, are you concerned about the capital, the businessmen and women leaving Ukraine right now?
Well, that's another very good reason why we do not panic and why we are very careful in our communication. Because we need to finance the budget, we need to pay the salaries and pensions, we need to continue, our business need to continue to work, we need to support and preserve all the achievements that financial budgetary system and in general Ukraine achieved during the past 8 years. So we saw how each announcement affects the market right away. And we saw how positive announcement, like with the United States providing us with $1 billion new sovereign guarantee, actually calms the market.
On that guarantee, what are going to be the sticking points that you're going to have to provide in order to get that $1 billion sovereign loan?
We are discussing, the Ministry of Finance is discussing it now with our U.S. partners. But you saw that right now all of our strategic partners, United States, European Union, and others are providing these quick solutions in order to help us and help to finance the budget, but also to show the signs of support.
But are there preconditions to that?
Not that I know.
And that was Ukraine's ambassador to the United States, Oksana Markarova, speaking with Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern about the current standoff with Russia. And you can catch more of their conversation. We have it online at Bloomberg.com. As we watch a bit of relief to markets this morning on word that the U.S. and Russia will keep talking next week. S&P futures are up 23 points. Dow futures up 134. NASDAQ futures are higher by 99 points. This is Bloomberg.
And thanks, Nathan. No relief in the weather. We have a wind advisory in effect through 10 this morning. Showers will end early. We'll have some clearing this afternoon. Windy with temperatures falling through much of the day. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising this morning despite ongoing geopolitical tensions. Sentiment is getting a boost from word of planned talks between the U.S. and Russia. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has agreed to meet Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Europe next week. We caught up with former U.N. Ambassador Thomas Pickering.
I have that bad feeling in my gut, and we'll have it until we begin to see something that is more than declarations, which begins to move us away from confrontation and toward a workout.
And former U.N. Ambassador Thomas Pickering spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, it's not just geopolitical concerns, Karen. The prospect of interest rate hikes to tame red-hot inflation has also contributed to the recent sell-off. St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard says bringing down inflation may require the central bank to do more. He thinks officials may need to overshoot the neutral target interest rate, which he sees at around 2%.
Investors have also been slamming stocks on earnings misses, Nathan. In fact, Meta Platforms, the parent of Facebook, has tumbled out of the world's 10 largest companies by market value. Meta's been hammered by its worst monthly decline ever.
Well, speaking of getting hammered, Karen, look at shares of Roku this morning. They're down nearly 25% in early trading thanks to an earnings miss. We get the details from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
The streaming video platform company reported fourth quarter revenue and issued a first quarter sales forecast that both fell short of analyst estimates. The company's chief financial officer said supply chain disruptions were a headwind for the company. Roku was one of the stay-at-home winners during the pandemic. Its stock gained nearly 150% in 2020 as COVID accelerated a shift towards streaming video among consumers. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Lisa, thank you. And speaking of the pandemic, the White House is warning that COVID cash is drying up. It's telling Congress that the U.S. does not have enough money on hand to deal with future coronavirus variants, to stockpile vaccines, or to develop new technologies. The Department of Health and Human Services is asking for $30 billion to prepare for new waves of the virus. And futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up about 23 points. Dow futures up 133. NASDAQ futures up 100. And the 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield 1.96%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
And that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at what's going on in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. To plead the fifth or not? That's the question facing Donald Trump after a New York judge ordered the former president to testify at a long-running state civil investigation into his business practices. Barring a successful appeal, Trump would face a decision between answering Attorney General Letitia James' questions or invoking his protection against self-incrimination. Trump has often equated such silence with evidence of guilt. A New York State trooper who testified that former Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed her is now suing him. She says Cuomo, a top aide, and state police violated her civil rights. The trooper's name was not disclosed in the lawsuit, which was filed in Manhattan. The wealthy Long Island resort of East Hampton delaying the planned closing of its airport until May 17th. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
The Federal Aviation Administration warned of flaws in the New York town's efforts to reduce noise from air traffic. Last month, the town's board voted to shut down the airport at the end of February and reopen it as a more limited-use facility on March 4th. East Hampton was looking to cut down on air traffic that has grown in recent years as rideshare apps make helicopter and plane travel easier. But the FAA warned that if the town closed the airfield, it could take as many as 2 years to reopen. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hillary Clinton back in the spotlight, tearing into the GOP and mocking Donald Trump during a speech at New York's Democratic Convention last night.
They'll make it harder for people to vote, but easier for big corporations to bust unions. They'll let polluters trash our environment and let Donald Trump trash our democracy.
At the convention, Governor Kathy Hochul accepted the State Democratic Party's nomination as their candidate in the 2022 governor's race. Thousands of New Jersey households will soon be getting notified that their residents have lead service lines and will be replaced over the next decade under a 2021 state law. That's according to the commissioner of the DEP. Just how quickly the lines will be replaced still isn't clear. A new poll shows climate change is seen as a bigger threat than war by a majority of people living in some of the world's top economies. The poll was commissioned by the Munich Security Conference. It listed concern over global warming, habitat destruction, and extreme weather as the top three risks. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 5:36 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
All right, thanks, John. NBA has hit the All-Star break. The game's Sunday in Cleveland. Knicks fans seem to love Obi Toppin, and he'll be in tomorrow night's slam dunk competition. The Nets hit the break 31-28. They had a recent 11-game losing streak, won a couple of games, including the epic comeback against the Knicks. Last night, a COVID makeup, their third game in four nights, and the Nets lost at Barclays to Washington, 117-103. Coach Steve Nash asked about the rest of the season.
We're excited. You know, we have 22 games to kind of come together as a team with Kevin returning, Ben returning. Hopefully we get a good run of health where we can really build something in a short period of time and get a better seed and also more cohesion going into the playoffs.
Nash referenced Kevin Durant. He's been out the past month. Ben Simmons, the new acquisition, not known when he'll make his Nets debut. At the Garden, Rangers and Red Wings went to a shootout. Rangers tied the game on a Mika Zibanejad power play goal with 8 minutes left, and then he scored on the Rangers' first shootout attempt, but the next five didn't score, and in six rounds, Detroit won 3-2. The ex-Islander, Thomas Greiss, made 37 saves, five more in the shootout. As for the Islanders, they beat the Bruins at the UBS Arena 4-1. Two sides of the baseball lockout met, and it lasted all of 15 minutes. Things not going well and trying to get a labor deal done. They are scheduled to meet again on Monday. At the Olympics, U.S. lost to Canada in the bronze medal game for curling. U.S. had won a surprising gold 4 years ago. Eileen Gu lives in San Francisco but competed for China, capped a big run in freestyle skiing, won her third medal, her second gold. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
John, thanks a lot. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Amazon and workers at a company warehouse in Staten Island have reached a tentative agreement to hold a union election. The National Labor Relations Board says it'll announce the election timing and format at a later date. Earlier, the Amazon Labor Union said a vote would be held from March 25th to March 30th. A luxury duplex penthouse in 111 West 57th Street, a skyscraper in New York's Billionaires Row, sold for about $54 million. That's according to JDS Development Group, which developed the building along with Property Markets Group and Spruce Capital Partners. The private schools for New York's wealthy are set to get even more exclusive. Price tag for an education at top-tier institutions will scale new highs for the upcoming academic year, with tuition increases of up to 5%. At least two schools have eclipsed the $60,000 a year mark. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, thanks, Ed. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Rising beef, pork, and egg costs make food inflation hard to escape.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting on Boeing's plans to help clean up the aviation industry by using sustainable fuels.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on red weather warnings for the UK as storm units could bring hurricane-force winds.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the microchip shortage and other issues took a $40 million toll on Visteon's business last year.
It's 5:39.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Inflation, like a full moon, seems to induce a range of manias. A proposal from Senate Democrats to suspend the federal gas tax offers a good example. Revenue from the gas tax goes into the Highway Trust Fund, which is the primary way the U.S. pays for surface transportation. But the tax, which isn't indexed to inflation, hasn't been raised since 1993, and the Highway Trust Fund faces a shortfall of some $160 billion over the next decade. A gas tax holiday would only compound this problem. By one estimate, it would cost the government around $20 billion and hasten the fund's insolvency by a full year. And for all that, it might save drivers a grand total of $2 a week. The Biden administration and Democrats should stop pretending a magical fix to inflation will materialize and instead stick to a simple principle: avoid making things worse. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we have Dow futures right now up 134 points. S&P 500 futures up 23. The NASDAQ futures right now up 108. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are rising as planned talks between Russia and the U.S. over Ukraine alleviate some investor gloom about geopolitical risks. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 23 points. Dow futures up 128. NASDAQ futures up 102. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury down 1/32, yield 1.96%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.48%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.5%, down $2.30. At $89.46 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $11.40 at $18.90.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1364 against the dollar. British pound 1.3615. The yen is at 115.19. Bitcoin this morning moving higher at $40,850. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, President Biden warns the probability of an invasion of Ukraine is still very high. The Russian foreign minister has agreed to meet with Secretary of State Antony Blinken for talks in Europe next week. A judge has ruled former President Trump must answer questions under oath in New York's civil investigation into his business practices. And the House Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, has taken the unusual step of endorsing the primary opponent of incumbent Republican Representative Liz Cheney. Sports, Rangers fall to the Red Wings in a shootout. The Islanders beat the Bruins. And the Capitals top the Flyers. In the NBA, the Wizards beat the Nets. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks for coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. Geopolitics and the risk of inflation may be top of mind for investors right now, but there is still a pandemic, at least in the background. So let's get an update on COVID, where we stand now. For that, we're joined by Andy Pekosch, a professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor, it's always good to speak with you, particularly at a time where this week we heard from Dr. Fauci saying that the U.S. outbreak is pointing in a sharp downward direction. And it feels like, you know, a lot of states are lifting mask mandates and other public health measures. What do we need to do to keep things going where they are?
Well, I think it's really important that local
case numbers and local numbers of hospitalizations and deaths are really factored into a lot of these decisions. I know we want to have the sense that the entire U.S. can be released from some of these public health interventions at the same time, but you know, Omicron surges have started at different times and are at different stages in different states and cities. So it's important to look at the numbers in a local level, and then to not let our foot off the gas too early for risk of a resurgence. So I'm sounding cautious because everything does look really good, but we don't want to be overly optimistic and relieve some of these interventions too early. Otherwise, we run the risk of running backwards a little bit.
Well, let's talk about some of the interventions that have been starting to lift in places like New York City, where we've heard from Mayor Adams telling CEOs to get their workers back in the offices, and mask mandates being lifted in places like Washington, D.C., and in schools in Massachusetts by the end of this month. Is this the right time for places like that, where the numbers really do seem to be going down, to say, yeah, we can go ahead and sort of ease things up and try to get back to normal?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to realize that, you know, we still are at levels of cases that are extremely high compared to other parts of the pandemic. We've learned to deal with these from both a medical aspect and a prevention aspect in terms of vaccines. And so there are safe ways to bring people back to work. You know, schools are the big question right now, with vaccination rates not being very good there, and that environment of having lots of people in small spaces together being one that runs a risk of high transmission. I think we really have to be careful about those types of situations. So the take home is, look at your situation and address some of the easy concerns that you can make to try to limit transmission. But there really is, in many parts of the country, no reason not to start thinking about moving towards that normalcy again.
We've also heard a growing number of reports from the White House that they're talking about running out of resources to deal with not just the current pandemic, but potentially future variants, future pandemics coming down the line. What lessons have we learned from this pandemic in terms of the types of resources we need to have in our stockpile to deal with what could be coming next?
Yeah, well, you know, at this stage of the pandemic, it really becomes testing, finding ways to do rapid testing as well as more extensive PCR testing so we can really follow cases. Sequencing capacity, that's how we know when a variant is out there. It's not because if someone comes up positive for a test, it's because we take their sample and we do sequencing on it. That capacity has to be larger, and that capacity has to be faster, because right now it takes too long for us to identify what variant a person is infected with. If we can put the resources in to speed that process up, then we would be in a much better place for upcoming potential surges of Omicron that are coming through. So that's really, I think, a focus right now in this in-between surge times, is to really get our testing and sequencing capabilities up so we could be faster at responding to outbreaks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the White House does, if anything, to try to get those resources in place. Dr. Pekosh, as always, great speaking with you. Andy Pekosh is professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of the parent company of this operation, Bloomberg LP. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
California Civil Rights Agency is expanding its probe into Activision Blizzard. Regulators are seeking access to police records concerning the game maker's executives and company events. Several movie-making heavyweights are accused of infringing on 6 patents for bi-color and multi-color lighting tubes that reduce rigging time for film and television crews. And Pepperidge Farm was hit with a federal lawsuit charging it violated the Fair Labor Standards Act and Virginia wage laws by misclassifying some delivery workers as independent contractors rather than employees.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And thanks, Jeff. Now another legal story. It brings us to allegations against Prince Andrew. After years of public humiliation over sexual abuse allegations, he is settling with his accuser. Andrew has consistently denied Virginia Giuffre's claim that he was lent to her by Jeffrey Epstein for sexual abuse when she was a teenager. Facing the possibility of trial later this year, Andrew agreed to settle the case for an undisclosed sum. For more on the move, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg legal editor Anthony Lynn.
Did this settlement come as a surprise to people who are watching the case?
I think ultimately not. I do think it was a surprise how early it came. I think a lot of people thought maybe this would get a little closer, a little further. But a lot of people who have been following, you know, litigation relating to Jeffrey Epstein did not expect this ultimately go to trial. So ultimately, the fact that it was settled wasn't that surprising.
But he'd been taking a sort of scorched earth approach to her claims, indicating he wanted to vindicate his name at trial.
Yeah, I think certainly the litigation strategy right up until the settlement was pretty aggressive in terms of saying she consented to some aspects of this, you know, that she was out for money. But clearly there was a turning point in the sense of when the judge basically denied his motion to dismiss the case. So he was facing a number of issues. For instance, he would have had to sit for a deposition soon. You know, they were getting this evidence from, for instance, his former personal assistant. So there were these sort of immediate, you know, obstacles in his path that I guess he wanted to avoid.
Did the judge ever rule on his argument that this litigation was covered by a release that Giuffre signed as part of a settlement with Epstein?
No, the judge never explicitly ruled on that. So that was the core argument that he put forth in his motion to dismiss, that this 2009 settlement between Giuffre and Epstein included him. And Giuffre's lawyers said that there was no possible way that he could have been included in that as a potential defendant. The agreement said all potential defendants. And the judge basically said it was too early to rule on that because there was more evidence to be discovered on that, basically.
In the settlement, he admitted to no wrongdoing, but his tone was quite different from what we've heard from him before.
That was conciliatory, I thought, you know, compared especially to the language in his motion to dismiss last October and in the more recent formal answer to the complaint, where he specifically said he was going to raise these defenses like consent. He specifically raised the legal defense of unclean hands, you know, basically suggesting she was at fault in this as well. She's not a blameless person in her own sexual abuse, which, you know, is a pretty harsh defense to bring up. And in this latest statement, he is commending her for her bravery and saying how much sympathy he has for all the victims.
And that's Bloomberg legal editor Anthony Lynn speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. This is Bloomberg.